Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace. And that all the heads of government worldwide make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Noticing our thoughts, releasing thoughts of the future or the past, and presencing ourselves to right now. Envision a bright silver light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc, lighting up your back, all the way up to the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing our attention on our point between the eyebrows. Know that I speak these words for me and for you and the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God, the fullness of wisdom, intelligence, creativity, and unconditional love. Being omnipresent, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me. This morning I take a stand if ever a mountain presents itself in my life. I do not resist or fight it. I do not run or flee from it. I do not freeze or become immobile. Rather, I see the mountain, this obstacle, not as a problem or even a challenge. I see it as a project awaiting my understanding, awaiting my consciousness, and awaiting my action to go around it, to climb it, to tunnel under it, move through it, and disappear it. Anything that I have perceived as a mountain in my life, I can transform it in consciousness and see it as a grand adventure, a peak experience that can and will bring me to a new level of awareness, a heightened consciousness that I could choose to say, thank you for this experience. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning of who I really am. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in spiritual community. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I am thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is spiritual laws to live by. And I just really want to acknowledge my resource material this morning. Reverend Joan Gattuso, the Unity minister in Cleveland, wrote a great book called A Course in Love, and she's a very adamant A Course in Miracles student. So this isn't so much the laws of life that sometimes that I speak about at least once a year, like that everything is energy and there's the perpetual transmission and transmutation of energy and the law of polarity and relativity and gender and rhythm and cause and effect. No, these are more or less laws to live by as far as knowing that we are spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe with spiritual laws, but also particularly knowing that we are immersed in, it is our very life, the power of love. The power of love, that we are love at the core. So the spiritual laws to live by, it's our choice to live by them. It's our choice to live in alignment with them. It's not that we break laws. It's that we can go contrary to them. And boy, are there ever circumstances to that and effects, cause and effects to that. Well, you going not in alignment with it is the cause, and then there's the effect. I always like to bring out my little, what I call my cause and effect balls. I've got these at home too, and all the little kids that come to visit like to play with them. But you know, it's like this. Mm-hmm. So what we give out, we receive back. You give out a little more, receive a little more. I don't have a real flat surface to do all the rest here, but I think you get the gist. When we operate against any kind of a spiritual law, it's always our ego coming from some form of fear. And I really like the acronym for ego that I learned many years ago, edging God out. It's like we are forgetting who we really are, that we are expressions of that infinite. So three things I want to address this morning. We contain everything that befits an expression of spirit. And in your little inserts today, you have all the different what I would call like qualities that we have innate within us that we at the center here want to always call forth. So what we do is every month we have a spiritual focus aligned with one of those 12 what I call spiritual powers or qualities or tendencies, etc. So we all have that innately within us, the capacity to express those within us, whether or not we do or not is our choice, of course. And number two, I want us to look at just a few principles that Joan Gattuso mentions in her book, A Course in Love. And they're really to live by, like, you know, to incorporate into our life and for us to be in alignment with them, so that we can truly have the kind of life that we deserve as spiritual beings. And it's not about deserve that we're like so good. It's deserve because of who we really are as a spiritual being. And number three, seek not to find love, but to remove any barriers that we may have built against it. To remove any barriers that we may have built against it. So I think any of you that have come to the center for any length of time, or even if you're fairly new, you know that we always come from a place of responsibility and accountability, and that we choose in our life what we really want to experience. So when we're going through life and when we're living our life, and this dovetails very much with my last couple of topics, and I'm kind of dovetailing on that, can we ask ourselves the question, where's my consciousness right now? Where's my consciousness right now? Does this feel like wholeness? Does this feel like divine order? Does this feel like what I really, really desire in my life? Does this feel like an aspect of faith? Does this feel like an aspect of love? So if the answer is no, we can choose anew. I don't like to say choose again, because it's not like repeating what you're choosing. You're choosing anew. You choose something new. Now, of course, when we look at this, what comes up for us is also like spiritual laws. When we're talking about them and when we're thinking about them, they're no respecter of persons. They're always working in our life, whether we give them attention or not. They don't vacillate, and they're changeless. So they work in our life. So something that doesn't work in our life is projection. I just said a few minutes ago, where is my consciousness? If we're looking at somebody or something, and we're finding some fault with it, whether or not we're conscious that what we're speaking is finding fault, or we might even insist that there's a trait in another that we don't like, or that they shouldn't be expressing in a certain way. Here's the thing, it's like we could not recognize that unless there was something of that within us. Now, this isn't to beat ourselves up about this, because I know that a lot of people in New Thought, sometimes they come here and I say, you know, how are you? And they say, well, I haven't been for a while because I've been sick. And I think, well, and I say to them, so how come we didn't know you weren't well so that we could hold you, you know, in health and pray for you and visit you? And so it's almost like an embarrassment that something isn't working in their life, so therefore they have to hide, you know? So we all have these particular traits, I'll say, and when we see it in another, a very powerful spiritual, I won't call it a technique, but a very powerful spiritual practice would be to say, so I'm seeing this in another, and so where does this reside within me? Where does this reside within me? And maybe we have actually expressed those things, but maybe not in exactly the same way that they are. So, and it may be very hidden in us. So, you know, we could say, there's this particular quality. So when have I acted like that? Have I ever acted like that? Have ever thought like that? Maybe sometimes we haven't acted on them, but we've thought it. You know? So, you know, like really when we're looking out there and we're maybe fault-finding or criticizing or condemning, what is it within us that is against that is judgmental about it, that doesn't want it to be so? And where in our life have we been similarly in action? Very powerful spiritual practice to do. So I want to go into a few things that are addressed in this book, and they're not new, but I'd like you to hold them in the context that, to hold them like the book's title, A Course in Love. So it's not only about finding a significant other, and of course it could be that. It's not only about enhancing your marriage or your relationship, and of course it includes that. But it's about, you know, knowing that we're love at the core, and are we willing to be it and live it in a more constant way in our life. In a more constant way in our life. So the first thing is to know that, when we speak about love here at the center, the distinction of the power of love as a noun and the emotion and the living out of it as a verb. So, you know, we could say that if we want to use the term God or the infinite presence and power or divine consciousness or the universal life force or intelligence, even if you don't want to call it divine, that it's like a power of attraction, a power of love. And out of it emanates, and when it flows through us as a vehicle and we live our life, then we can say, well, we're doing loving things or we love somebody. But there is a distinction between the noun and the verb, love. Then, of course, there's the there's so much about the law of attraction. You know, it's interesting. I was looking up a colleague of mine from years ago, and to see like what she's up to this right now, Mary Manon Morrissey, and she's actually working now with Bob Proctor, who has been in what I would call New Thought for years and years and years and years. And he has, I don't know if it's a book he's written or in conjunction with a course and CDs. And what it's called, and they're presenting these in the form of workshops, what it's called is the 11 Forgotten Laws. And it's interesting because he actually said in this little snippet on the internet that, and I'm not quoting, so this is my perception of what he said. It's like the secret, the law, and the law of attraction is incomplete. And you know, when all that came out, there were many people that were just, wow, this is it. And there were many people saying, like that, you know. So, and what are the 11 laws? Well, they're all laws that we talk about here at the centers so many times. I just kind of quickly made a list of them because I'm certainly not going to go into these specific ones right now. But I thought you'd find it interesting. The law of non-resistance. Hey, we always say what we resist persists. The law of, here it is again, forgiveness. Forgiveness. And thinking. The law of think. How are we thinking? The law of supply, that we live in an abundant universe. The law of compensation, you know, reciprocity, like that. The law of attraction, well, that's part of what he just said wasn't complete. And then the law of receiving, the law of increase, and the law of obedience, and the law of success. And also, I think there was another law. That's not quite 11, that's 10. I think there was a law of sacrifice. Now, sometimes people hold sacrifice in a very negative way, and I don't know how they present it, but you know, in Love at the Core that we're now moving into week 6, it's like we ask people, so are you willing to sacrifice some time to be here? Some time and attention and focus during the week to do your weekly exploration so that you can incorporate what you've learned in the 3 hours here out into your life. So sacrifice doesn't need to be a really, really negative idea all the time. So getting back to these ways of living in alignment that will certainly enhance our living the power of love that we are. So remember that we are love at the core. And number two, that the law of attraction is forever operating and like attracts like. So what we focus on expands. Just go back for a moment. Are we willing to live in a state of consciousness of saying the good that I am seeking is now seeking me, just like I said in the meditation earlier? Are we willing to stand in knowing that we can never be separate or outside of this power of love? And one of the affirmations that I've used, I used it for a couple of years, and sometimes I kind of fall away from it just more recently. I love the life I live, and I live the life I love. I love the life I live, and I live the life I love. So, do we actually love the life that we are in, or do we resist it? Are we always like in a state of wanting something else or wanting something more, as though it's not enough? Know that our thoughts and our words and our speaking and our attitudes and our emotions all attract to us. You know, we say that our thoughts create the emotion creates the feeling creates a vibration, and it's the vibration that attracts things to us. So, like, that's part of that question. Where is my consciousness right now? It's like, what vibration am I vibrating right now? What vibration am I vibrating right now? You know, people say, well, we just shouldn't think negatively. Well, that, you know, that might be very simplistic, but I have known people, you could hardly come up to them and speak to them without them just spilling out negativity, spilling out problems, spilling out what isn't working in their life. And there seems to be no connection in their consciousness, realizing that as they continue to focus on it, as they continue to amplify it, they just attract more of that, or whatever it is that they don't like stays in their life. It stays in their life. Many times I've spoken about our upsets. Do we have thwarted expectations that we have, and then we become upset in our life? That's a very, very powerful thing when you're in relationship. Realize what you're upset about, and then look to see, has there been a thwarted expectation on your part? And you know, it's, you know, that can be very subtle. It's not like we expect somebody to do something and they didn't do it. Of course it includes that. But sometimes we expect somebody to be a certain way with us. We expect somebody to be in conversation in a certain way, and then when they're not, or even sometimes their tonation, and we can get upset, our feathers can be ruffled, and we can be upset, and then we don't realize, you know, it's not so much them or what they said. And yes, if something needs to be addressed and clarified and needs to be communicated, that when this was said, this was how I felt. But also to look far deeper than that, to say to ourselves, what was my expectation here? And it wasn't being fulfilled. And therefore, I was upset. Does our speech and our conversation come from, you've got a little insert in your program, faith and trust and hope, and next week I'm speaking about trust. Of course I trust you. Of course I trust you. Mm-hmm. But I like these little acronyms that I've found along the way. Faith is to find answers in the heart. To find answers in the heart. There goes my glasses. Thank you. I'm having a little bit of difficulty here with my glasses because my eyes are changing, and I don't need them to read here, so. But I can't see if Irene's smiling at me over there. I can see Irene, but I can't really see if she's smiling at me, but I think she is. Yeah. So these acronyms, faith, find answers in the heart. You know, like when we go to the heart will never lead us astray. You know, I think you mentioned that this morning, Paul, before you sang, you know. Sometimes people say, well, how do I know that, you know, I have this desire. How do I know it's God's will for me? Here's a question. Is there any will that is outside the context of God? If we truly believe in omnipresence, hello? So, you know, anything that's speaking to us in here, as far as a real, I would say, a gut feeling, maybe that's that infinite, universal life force, intelligence, the power of love, whatever you want to call it, if it had a voice saying, do that, I want to do that through you, say that, I want to say that through you, go there, I want to be there as you. You know, like that's something to think about. And then the other acronym, HOPE, happily opening portals to eternity. So it's that opening. So when we're speaking, when we're living, are we coming out of the context of faith and hope and trust that I'll address a little bit more next week? Tomorrow's results ultimately start today. Well, Covey talked about start with the end in mind. You know, if things aren't working well in our life and in our relationships, have you ever just stopped and thought, so what kind of a relationship do I want here with this person? Where do I want to go with this person? You know, and then our actions out of that, of course. I could go on 20 minutes just on this one, and I have in other topics. Everything shows up as how we perceive God, whether we want to call it God or not. I kept my commitment to myself this last week, and we watched one of Mikhail Ledwith's DVDs, Deep Deceptions, and how so much people believe that heaven is up there, and there's this earth here, and there's down below, and it's like a hamburger. That's what he calls the hamburger universe, and for us to really look at some of our beliefs and where they came from, and are they truly our beliefs, or are they just something that's been placed on us by our family, by our churches, by our cultures, and are we happy with it? Are we happy with it? Someone told me recently that they knew someone that kind of stopped in here and there along the way and quite liked what we had to say, and then they had a partner that was of another faith, and he started to go to that particular church, and he's enjoying it, and he asked this person to pass along to me that although he appreciates what we do, he's now going to this particular, the Jewish faith. And I said, if that is what is fulfilling his needs spiritually, like, go for it. But a lot of times people don't ask the question, is this fulfilling my spiritual needs? And how do I feel inspired? Do I feel uplifted? Do I feel any joy here? Do I feel as though, and it's not so much a feeling, but do I walk out like thinking that no matter what, I can handle it, not like I alone, but because of who I am? And if that's the case, yes, 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 go for it. Like, go for it. But if it's not doing those things, then perhaps a person should look a little deeper and search someplace else. So, okay, the power of love, like attracts like, the law of attraction, and then to realize that we live in an abundant universe. All we have to do is just look around us, and of course, when I'm talking about abundance, I'm also including prosperity. Prosperity is not only about money, and of course it does include that, but I like what my spiritual mentor Roy Eugene Davis, how he defines prosperity is to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of your life, including your health, including relationships, and including substance of the universe, handling money, etc., and having things, etc. Okay, so then there's who we are is love at the core, and intrinsically joy resides within us. And joy increases as we share it. You think about Christmas time coming up pretty soon, and sometimes Christmas time for some people is only about, celebrating with other people and decorating and presents. Instead of, it's not only like here, we don't emphasize the birth of Jesus as an exception, we celebrate it as an example. So what was the example that Jesus the Christ left for us? I'm getting a little off track here. Oh, about joy. So are we willing in our Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving is coming up. We just had ours a little while ago. Christmas is coming up. Are we willing to really get in touch with our joy and express it at a deeper level, especially by sharing? Now, here's the thing. Just look in your life. When have you felt really joyous? Thank you, Alice. That was not a paid commercial. No, but isn't one aspect of that when you are with someone and you're sharing with them? Is there anybody here that disagrees with that? And like you're sharing like heart to heart. You're talking about things that maybe you don't normally talk about to a lot of other people, but this particular person you can share this with. You know, and there's a joy that kind of bubbles up with you. And of course there's joy with being with children. Yeah. So one of the things that I've spoken about once or twice a year, and I haven't done for a long time, but I'll just touch on it. I had a couple of topics that I did that I just shared what it's like being me. At the time, Gail Schultz, it was. And being the center's minister and director and doing what I do in that, you know, that role, that capacity. And what I shared was were four H's. And these are wonderful things to share with people that you love and people that you trust and people you want to be closer to. And as you share it and they really hear and listen and acknowledge and are committed listener to it, you are more in touch with the joy that you are. And they feel joyful because of your commitment to your relationship and the fact that you're sharing something like that with them. And those four things are your hopes. What are your hopes in life? What's in your heart? That's the second H. What's really, really in your heart? What are your hurts? And what do you need help in? Four H's. If you want a weekly exploration, even if you just took those four H's home and shared that with someone in your life. Now, here's the main point too, is have you ever really thought about that yourself? How can you share that with someone else unless you've, share it with yourself, but first, you know, looked at that yourself? Have you lately thought about your hopes? Have you lately thought about what's really in your heart? Have you really thought about your hurts? And have you shared that? And have you thought about where do you need help? And like not help me and be, lean on other people, but, you know, asking for support. Mm-hmm. All right. So we don't go seeking love. We remove the barriers of expressing the presence of love that we really are. So some people push away love. They're not willing to look at their unhealed hurts. You know, David Jones, the minister of the Center for Inspired Living, taught six Free the Hearts here at our center 3 years ago, like two, two, and two every year. And it's a powerful course for healing hurts. And some people just don't want to go there. And you know, then it's like this. They're in a relationship and they get hooked into the past hurt that hasn't been resolved, that isn't complete. And then they wonder why they keep having, probably keep having the same problems again and again and again and again. They haven't gone into deeply enough their unresolved stuff. And a lot of it is unforgiveness. A lot of it is unforgiveness. And like those guidelines that I read before the topic, Joan said, work on yourself. And in a real good committed relationship, you both work on yourselves. And then you come together that way. There's a law of life that I believe that is a law of life. And that is that the universe is a universe of freedom, that not bondage. And what I'm speaking now is in our own consciousness now. And it was very interesting that in this book, A Course in Love, Joan really shares a lot about her own relationship. And she was married twice before. And she says in her early marriages, there were warning signs even before, never mind when she was in them. And she just, you know, she just like forced them out. And she settled for somebody. You know, sometimes people settle for something or somebody. I like to say BTN, better than nothing. Don't settle for better than nothing. I'm not talking only about your significant relationships, and that is very important. I'm also talking about friendships. You know, what kind of friends do we have? Do we have people that just kind of hang around, that we hang around with, and it's better than nothing, we want some friends? Or are we really, you know, putting it out there as a vibration as to what kind of people we want to spend quality time with? I usually share at the end of the year, one of the things that I always look at the end of the year is, who in my life do I want to get to know better? Who in my life do I want to spend some time with? Who in my life that I maybe have been spending time with that it hasn't been wonderful, hasn't been fulfilling, and maybe I need to release and let go, or perhaps maybe as one step not spend quite so much time with them. It's important to look at that. Now, sometimes when people get into relationships better than nothing, it's out of the fear of being alone, the fear of not having anyone. Underneath is like the fear of being alone. And so many times people jump from one relationship into another and haven't done their work in between. But it's almost like they don't want to be by themselves. And I know sometimes people are by themselves for a long time. I know that. And that's a good thing. I'm really happy that there was a 5-year space between Norman's death and my relationship with John. That was a good time for me. It was a good time for me to be alone. It was a good time for me to be independent. It was a good time to spend time just with me. Just with me, and to look in different areas of my life, and then also look at, so how do I want my life to be now, given that Norman is no longer part of it? Are we willing to really enjoy our own company? You know, enjoy our own company. Find out what gives you joy, and then do it. You know? Sometimes we just, we postpone that. Here's a quotation from this book. I have noticed that what at the beginning of a relationship people insist really doesn't matter, listen up, this is real interesting, is exactly what does matter and is a big deal. I have noticed that what at the beginning of a relationship people insist really doesn't matter is exactly what does matter a great deal. Sometimes people think, especially when they're developing a new relationship, well, I'll overlook that. Well, I'll overlook that. He or she will change. I will change them. Maybe we don't think that out loud. So, you know, this is all part of this, you know, don't seek love, but removing the barriers that get in the way of love's presence. You know, it's not to fight or flight or freeze in conflict. Conflict is really a clash of ideas, and then you get to choose whether you want to go up the path of learning or if you want to go up the path of fighting, arguing, flighting, freezing, whatever. All right, so next week I said I'm going to be speaking about trust. Richard Bach, who wrote the book Illusions, and Jonathan Livingston Siegel, said this: you're never given a wish without also given the opportunity to make it true. You will, however, have to work on it. You will, however, have to work on it. All right, so are we willing to work at some of these things in our relationships and hold them as that we're a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe with spiritual laws, and that the law, one of the greatest law is that we're never separate from love. We're never separate from love because who we are is the power of love. Who we are is love. And are we willing to tap into it? Are we willing to watch what we're focusing on, knowing that the law of attraction is forever operating? Are we willing to know and live our life that joy is increased as we share it? And as we share from our heart and you know, like from who we really are. Are we willing to stand in and acknowledge that we live in an abundant universe and it's according to our receptivity? Anything the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. I've said this so many times, there's a step missing. There's a step missing. We can conceive an idea. We can have the idea. We can believe it. And it may not come to fruition. Conceive, believe, achieve. We absolutely have to be in the place of accepting. Anything that we can conceive, believe, and be willing to accept. Now, about accepting, it's all about self-esteem. It's all about knowing who we are. It's all about knowing that we deserve. It's all about releasing any thoughts, any beliefs that no longer serve us, especially religious beliefs that no longer serve us, and to embrace true spiritual beliefs. And as we embrace spiritual beliefs in our life, and as we go through life, and we're, you know, it's not to say we'll never have challenges. However, as we go through life, there's certain places where we go through, and we stand in those, we go parallel to those laws, and we are in alignment with them. And then you know what? We no longer have to believe or be in faith. There's certain things that happen in our life that we know. Now, we can't know it for another person. They have to go through their own whatever they're gonna, whatever, that they know. And until then, it's a belief and they stand in faith. But I do like what that little insert says, you know, step out. And know that there will be something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly. And what, you know, what does that mean? I mean, only you know what that could mean for you in your life. So I'm glad that each and every one of you were here. These weren't laws to live by, the metaphysical laws, the laws of the universe as far as, you know, I mentioned some of them earlier about energy and the perpetual transmutation of energy. But these are principles to align with so that we can have, I don't even want to say a happier life. It's not about happier life. And yes, isn't it the Dalai Lama that says something like that? That's the purpose of life, to be happy. Like, to me, there's a distinction between happiness and joy. Happiness is when stuff outside of us is happening, and as a result, we look at it, or we're engaged in it, or we respond to it, and we're happy because of it. And that's fine. But the joy is what is within us. What's within us. And that's the thing that I think, as we align with some of the things that I've talked about today, and aligned ourselves with that, then we do feel the joy that is within us come out more. It's not like the world has to do something or change for us to feel joy. Yeah. So God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power within each and every one of you. Namaste, and thank you for being here this morning. Thank you.